Hi everyone, my name is Kei Chiano. I'm the designer of Owen Dunn and Elite Beat Agents, and you're listening to Radio Free Nintendo at NintendoWorldReport.com.
What's up, y'all? It's Radio Free Nintendo, episode 95, and joining us today, in lieu of John Lindemann, who unfortunately had to drop out today, hopefully he'll be back next week, but instead we have Nintendo World Report site director, Steven Windyman Rodriguez!
You know, he should be on in lieu of me. I mean, why am I not in more podcasts, guys? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's let the listeners tell us why. Okay, we also have James Jones, features editor of the site.
Hello, everyone.
And beloved podcast editor of this very show. And the very beloved, and believe me, we actually like get emails about how much people love this guy. It's Greg Leahy.
Hello.
We really do.
I'm the non-editor.
It's probably because he has the sexy accent.
Yes, I get that a lot.
Are you going to introduce yourself, or are we just going to...
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm Jonathan Metz, hi.
Yeah.
I'm now, I don't even know if I've mentioned this on the show, I am the contributing editor now.
Yeah.
And in 6 months' time, I will be the janitorial editor. Yeah. Hey. And then 6 months after that, I will be... the guy in the shadows, who's being fed through tubes. Yeah, my responsibilities at this point amount to saying the word "fuck" on the podcast.
No, oh, come on, I think I've got that pretty well cornered, actually.
Hey, man, back off! This is a union job, and you can't have it.
I'm gonna bleep it out of that comment just so nobody knows what your responsibilities are.
You know, if they listen to the show, they'll know it anyway. Okay. So, just as an intro to the show, before we really get rolling here, I want to note that, obviously, we're on 95 here. We got a little more than a month to go before we get to the big 100th episode. That's also roughly coinciding with the 2-year anniversary of the show, but considering how inconsistent the schedule used to be, I kind of would rather skip the whole time-based anniversaries and just say, 100, that's a fun number, let's go with that. So I'm kind of hoping to do something exciting for the 100th episode, and right now I'm kind of drawing blanks on good ideas. So if anybody's listening to this and you have an idea, if there's someone from the past you want to come back, if there's some crazy controversial topic you want us to spend like an hour going really nuts over and like threatening to kill each other over the internet... if there's some weird special guest that we've never had before, but you think we might actually be able to get, by the way, you're probably wrong, but it can't hurt to suggest it. Anyway, if you have any kind of ideas like that, I'm definitely entertaining them, and even if I don't use your idea, maybe it'll help me think of a better idea. So, you can send those to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com, and thanks in advance. I also wanted to note, you know, we have two regular podcasts at our website. One is Radio Free Nintendo, and then every other week we have Radio Trivia Podcast Edition, hosted by Michael T.Y.P. Cole. And I believe, actually, James, you're on the most recent episode.
Yes, I am,
right?
Actually.
Very nice. Did you have fun?
Yeah, I did. I love doing that show.
Yeah,
not as
me
much
too.
As I
it's,
love
it's
you guys, of course.
I know, yeah. But, you know, on that show, you don't even have to, like, sing along with the Bubble Bobble theme song. You can actually listen to it, and it's actually, like, a legitimate part of the show.
What about the Kickle Cubicle theme song?
Exactly. It's not even, like, a song. It's just it's a racket. It's
like, that was actually how we used to market Radio Trivia through RFN.
Oh, yeah. We should use some of those old commercials, because how long has it been since we had, like, a decent commercial during the breaks here?
I've never put one into the show because I don't have them.
Dude, are you serious? I've got a couple at least, and we can dig up the rest. I'll go bash in Carl's head and make him give us the other ones.
We've got
we've at least got old ones that we could put in. And, you know, I think we've even got some, like, fun little spots for Nintendo Funhouse Radio. which I don't think we've ever really mentioned on the show either. That's our internet radio station that plays 24/7. It's automated, but it has like hundreds and hundreds of video game songs. So if you like radio trivia, you know, you should go check that out. There's links on the website. It's not that hard to
find.
Yeah,
it's like radio trivia, just without the trivia.
Exactly. It's just the music. It's so eclectic. It's bizarre. It'll go from like friggin' like Resident Evil 2 creepy piano music over to Kirby, you know, like creepy clowny stuff. So it's really all
over
the place. It's
all creepy for Johnny.
Yeah. It's all creepy for me. All video game music gives me the creeps. That's why I listen to this show while I play. But anyway, in addition to those two podcasts and our internet radio station, I mean, we are totally obsessed with our own voices at this website. We also have a third podcast in development, I guess you could say. But the first episode, the pilot, the test run, is available. I wasn't sure how it was available. I actually had to go to Ty Sugarton and like ask him to email it to me or like upload it to SinSpace. But I'm going to put it up on the same folder that we put our other podcasts on, and I think he's going to make an article this week if I
actually Johnny, it's available in the Funhouse for those who dare to venture within. It's
yeah, I know, but that's a really clicky thing. I mean, I know the podcast is meant to like kind of like stroke the fill in the blank of the people who are already in the forums. But I assume also meant to like entice new people to join the forums and show them how much fun they have there.
It's meant to be a gateway drug. So.
Yes. Yeah, having actually actually heard the podcast, I can assure you only one person is threatened to be killed. So it's okay.
And it may or may
not
be.
I haven't heard the whole thing, but I skimmed through it today. I just got it today. And there is a really funny part where Ryan Winterhalter, who, by the way, is not even like a staff member anymore. He was for a while. One of the fun things that he did while he was on the staff was he reviewed Final Fantasy III for the DS. And he got like, I think, bordering on death threats from some people because he gave that game a not amazing score. And this one guy in the forums, he was like a troll. Like he came from some other forum. He wasn't even a member of our community before that. But he rolled in there and registered on the forums. And he started posting all this hilarious argumentative stuff in that talkback thread to the review, basically telling Ryan that he's an idiot and he's a weak sauce gamer and you know, the game's so easy, blah blah blah. It's really funny, and Ryan reads out I think every post that this person made in that thread. This really funny dramatic voice.
That was awesome. That was worth the price of admission, which by the way is free.
Right, exactly. Yes. So,
so it's more than
you
worth it.
Really want to download this for that sake. So yeah, we will there should be an article on the front page of Nintendo World Report this week with a link for that once I upload it for Ty. So look out for that. It's pretty funny stuff, and I'm sure it'll be getting better. And I think one of their ongoing features is going to be that they're going to allow people from the community to send in their own like self-recorded audio segments to be included in the show. So there's one of those from Rabical, who's one of our Australian readers from the Aussie Club. And should be more in the future. So, yeah, it's funny stuff. It's with Ty Sugart and Ryan Winterhalter. And by the way, Ty Sugart confirmed to me today that he is not going to kill his girlfriend for cheating on him with his WoW team guild leader.
Well, thank goodness.
In case you're worried about Ty, yeah, if you read Ty's blog, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's kind of this creepy, it's like funny, but it's sort of in the gray area of like, could be real, could be fake.
Yeah.
Because it is live journal after all, and people write that kind of stuff. So, anyway, if you happen
blog
to see that, don't worry. Well, actually, I had a friend today. I don't regularly read Ty's blog, but I had a friend today who was asking me like, you know, do you know Ty very well? Like, do you think this might be real? I'm kind of worried. And I read it, and I'm like, I'm about 99% sure this isn't real, because if Ty did have a girlfriend and she did live with him, I'm pretty sure he would get her into Guilty Gear, not WoW.
Okay. Well, this is the most self-referential intro we've ever recorded.
Yeah, I think that's pretty
well, you know,
much it.
Sorry. Yeah, so, okay, we're going to go into new business in a minute, and then after that, the reason we have Wendy on here, not only because of his lovely, lovely, sultry tones, but he was just at Nintendo last week, and he, like, played a lot of stuff that's not out yet. that you might want to know about? Like,
stuff.
Samba de Amigo?
Yeah.
Like, Mario Kart, which Greg played too.
Yeah.
Not in San Francisco.
No,
but in
sadly
a place.
In another world.
So, yeah, there's some really cool stuff coming up in the next segment. But we are going to have new business. It's going to be quick this week, because last week, that's all we did.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just new business. No. It was like new business plus a bunch of other crazy tangential shit that we couldn't control ourselves with. But I'm going to keep it in check this week. We really got to keep it down because I want to move on to the good stuff here.
Yeah,
you've been
ruthlessly efficient so far, so I'm sure we'll come through that.
I know. That's my – it's my scientific speciality.
Just
no,
wait, gentlemen. We're on our way to a four-hour podcast.
Indeed. Yeah. No, okay, new business. First up, Wendy, did you do anything other than the summit? You played anything else?
Well, yeah, before the summit, you probably have seen it on the site already. I got a lot of good time with Winning 11 Playmaker 2008, also known as Pro Evolution Soccer 2008, for those who live outside of Japan.
So you have impressions up on the site?
Yeah, I've got impressions and lots of video up on the site, so if you guys want to check that out, check it out.
I need to. I'm kind of interested. I don't even like soccer, but I kind of... I've heard really good things about this. Like, it sounds kind of cool.
It is really cool. I mean, just it's the fact that you can control the player with the ball in offense with the stick on the nunchuck, right? But what you can also do is that you can use the remote pointer to select anybody else on your team and also control them by dragging the cursor around. So you can literally control two different people on your team at the same time, fully control them. Hmm. And what that allows you to do is open up stuff and, you know, make plays, hence why it's called Playmaker in Japan, that you can drag teammates to go to a spot and then pass the ball to them en route to that spot. And then you can just do, like, one-timers, like, tell them to shoot the ball as the ball's on the way. And you can pass the ball exactly where you want to pass it on the field. So if a guy is running down the field and you, like a regular system controller, you just press a button, the ball will get passed to him. But there's no guarantee that it always... catch the ball, you know, in the middle of their stride. Well, in this game, you can deliberately pass the ball to a spot well out in front of them, so by the time the ball gets there, they will have caught up to it, and they can just get the ball and keep running.
So basically, you can pass the ball to any place on the field that you want to, whether there's a person there or not.
Yeah, so you like if you do that...
That
like
seems
you,
like kind of a major advancement in not just soccer, but like any sports game.
It is. And the thing about it is, if you just select any spot in the field and pass the ball there, use the B trigger to pass the ball, you'll pass the ball there, and wherever the nearest player on the field is, they'll automatically go to that spot to get the ball. But what else you can do is that if you can select one of your teammates by holding down the B trigger, and then you can drag them or move them along the field while you're holding the B button. And the second you let go of the B button, it'll pass the ball to wherever you're pointing. Yeah, there is an insane amount of control in this game, and it's really, really tight, and it's really easy to use. I really like it a lot.
Does it have online play?
Oh, yeah, it does. And it's not Nintendo Online.
With voice chat? Wait, say it's not Nintendo Online. Do you mean there aren't any friend codes? Or?
Well, there are friend codes and stuff, but Nintendo isn't the one who developed the game. Like, Konami developed the game. And, I mean, outside of Elebits, I mean, this is really the first big Konami title to be on a Nintendo system.
Are you suggesting that the online play actually works well?
It works well. I mean, even I've got my Japanese Wii over here, way over here in the in the United States, and I actually got some pretty good matches going. So
With people in Japan, you mean?
Well, with people, I don't know where they were since everything's anonymous, but
right.
So as opposed to Smash Brothers, where I can't seem to connect to anybody randomly, no matter how hard I try, but that's like another 3 hours worth of podcasts by itself.
Yeah,
we've done that too.
We've already covered that actually.
Cool. So are you playing anything other than Pro Evolution Soccer 2008?
Let's see. Not really. I mean, there are some other WiiWare games that I got during the WiiWare launch. Like, Star Soldier R. It's actually pretty good. I like it a lot. Like, it was $8, and it's only 5 minutes. It's kind of misnomer because it's designed in a way where you know you can do better every time you play it, so you want to play it, so it's actually really addictive.
That sounds kind of like a geometry, like the original Geometry Wars kind of deal, or maybe this game that just came out called The Club. So it's like are you saying it's like a score attack game?
Yeah, exactly.
You do the same thing over and over, but you try to perfect it.
Yeah, so you got like a 2 minute mode where you do one level, and a 5 minute mode where you do two levels, and that's the entire game.
So does it have leaderboards and stuff?
Yeah, online leaderboards.
Okay, and they actually work?
Yeah.
Like, can you see how your friends did?
There aren't friend leaderboards. I don't know. There aren't any friends leaderboards, but it's broken down by like country and by region. So like,
it's still lame.
Yeah,
it's better. I mean, it's better than nothing.
It's better than Geometry Wars basically telling you, oh, look, you're the 32nd best player in the world, except you're really not because the leaderboards are different in every region, but they don't even tell you that.
Hey, they have world by leaderboards, and then presumably they're going to have like country leaderboards because there's a Japan ranking, and then within that country, within the Japan rankings, there's area rankings, so every like region of Japan has its own separate leaderboard.
Okay, well, that's better, I guess. It's still not good enough, but...
So hard to please.
I am hard to please. Yeah, I kind of want my online features to be like in the same region of quality as the ones found on other systems 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I guess that's me being demanding and bitchy.
Well, it's not really okay. You being demanding or bitching. That's the bar. And if you can't get up to the bar, why bother?
They're not even close, dude. They're not even, their fingers aren't even, they're not even touching the bar as they jump up. Okay?
And even if they grab it, they can't even do a chin-up because they're fat.
That's right. Yeah. They should play Wii Fit.
Extended metaphor has become increasingly convoluted.
I know. James, what you got, man?
All right, well, I played not much this week. I went on my annual Sid Meier kick and pulled out Railroads.
Whoa,
yeah,
boy. Dude, you're into some random hardcore shit. Like, James surprises me because like one week he's like, "Oh yeah, I was playing Ace Combat 5 the other day," and then this week he's like, "Yeah, but Sid Meier's Railroads."
Yeah, well, you know,
you have some really unpredictable tastes in gaming, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Man,
just my gaming rack over here is just full of bizarreness. So
yeah,
I'll let that go.
Nice.
Maybe.
Is that like a pure sim? I mean, is there anything that should we care about it?
It you know, if you enjoy entrepreneur
railroads,
games. I enjoy railroads.
Well, look, a game called Railroads. I mean, Sid Meier's Railroads.
Can you ride the railroads in first person?
You cannot, unfortunately. It's a grave omission.
So that's lame. Like, that's kind of the appeal of the roller coaster tycoon games, isn't it? You can make the most retarded roller coasters that no one would ever actually get on, and then you can, like, ride them in first person.
My appeal is to make death traps. I mean...
Oh, you're like a griefer. You're like an AI griefer.
Yeah, essentially. I'm the kind of person who puts fireplaces on the carpet in The Sims and then takes away the doors.
Okay, yeah, that's a legitimate way to play those games. It may actually be the only way to get any fun out of those.
Yeah, well, that game's the top selling PC game of all time, so
I know, but you know, people watch the friggin' Dancing with the Stars, so
yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Popularity is no proof of quality, that's all I'm saying.
Besides
Greg. Yeah. Okay. No. Oh, you got something else?
Yeah, well, besides that, I spent most of my time working on a feature we have coming up based on Brawl's online strategy.
Strategy?
What online strategy?
Well, that's kind of what the conclusion we come up with, actually.
That was creepy.
Yeah, that comes up, actually.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much it.
Yeah, hopefully that'll be on the site by the... end of this week or around the time where you hear this podcast, but
hopefully we'll get it done.
We're just waiting on a few things and then we can make it go.
Sweet. Well, I'm sure our regular listeners will be interested in checking that out.
Presumably you're not going to wait until Brawl's Online actually gets good, otherwise we'd never get to read this.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, Wendy, did you get to... I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit here, but it's appropriate, I think. Did you get to interview anyone at the Media Summit and ask them any of our... We had wrote a lot of interesting, detailed questions about Brawl and the online stuff. And...
There were no formal interviews there. It was me mostly talking to all the developers there and all the people there. So nothing officially from Nintendo. But I still got a lot of interesting bits of info here and there about the various games. So, which if you're listening to this now, you probably already read them on the site. But I can slip a few other things in the next segment.
What I'm saying is, no, I know you're teasing us now, but that's not actually what I was asking about. did you get any kind of excuse from Nintendo for the shittiness of Brawl Online?
Not really. They were all just dodging the questions. Like, Well, I expected them to do so.
Yeah, we can't expect them to go, yeah, it sucked. Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, it's not even out in Europe yet, so you're not going to torpedo
it. Well,
I
will say this. I will say this much. Like, based on what I saw in Mario Kart, and maybe Greg, you saw it too. We can talk about this more next segment. But it looks like they made big leaps and bounds for Mario Kart. Looks like. I mean, how it will work in the real world, I don't know.
A game that is presumably a month ahead in development.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I should be pleased or utterly disgusted with that fact.
Oh, dear.
We'll talk about it. Negative? Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody in Talkback from last week's episode was like, why are you guys so negative about everything? It's like, I don't know. It's just what happens when you put a bunch of Nintendo fans in the same room. Guess what? They start bitching.
There's a lot.
I wonder why. Yeah. I mean, honestly, we all love Nintendo. We play these games and we love them. But yeah, there's a reason why. Like every time I talk about Super Mario Galaxy, like I'm gonna do in a minute, I come up with some complaint because it's not that interesting to sit here and listen to me say, oh my god, it's like one of the most beautiful, amazing, incredibly creative games I've ever played, and it is.
Indeed.
But I can only say that once. Yeah. You know, I can complain thousands of times.
Well, twice now. You've just said it again.
Yeah. So
Nintendo is trying us to become increasingly pessimistic about all their claims and stuff. They promise the moon, they give us cheese.
Yeah, this is their fault.
I think when it comes to online play, I'm skeptical of anyone who really has anything positive to say about it.
You know what?
Not so much negative.
When I was working on the online feature, there were people who had seemingly great experiences with Brawl, and my only conclusion I can come up with is, the whole thing's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Well, I've had mediocre experiences with Brawl.
Well, you got a better experience than I have. I've gotten two matches online, and both of them were dropped.
Yeah, you've barely had any experiences at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's because nobody's been linking up with your friend codes.
Well, no, even with anyone matches.
Yeah, they're bad.
Yeah, I haven't had any
friend
matches.
They're just so bad across the board, I can't bring myself to do it. I can get them, but there's such a probability of them being unplayable. I just don't want to put myself in that situation.
Well, and Greg, I mean, we have to be fair here. You're generally playing across an ocean, so it's going to be even worse for you than it is for us.
In
but
that
I mean,
case, it's
I'm having you know, I have trouble playing with people a couple hundred miles away, or less even.
Well, and also,
so
and also as we got
bad.
The feedback from Dancom05 on the RFN listener mail, in terms of, you know, sometimes it doesn't even necessarily seem like the distance is that important, you know, so there's that element too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, moving on. Greg, I know you've got Mario Kart.
Indeed,
we'll let you talk about that along with Steven in the next segment. Is there anything else you've been playing?
Not a whole lot else I've been playing. I got done and dusted with some rather unpleasant review duties that I won't really go into any further. I referenced it on the last episode. The review's up, and I won't dignify it with further comment.
That's the best part of new business.
Yeah, no, I mean, it just doesn't have the hilarity and hints of venereal disease of Miami Knight, so it really doesn't have the legs of that. It's just bad.
You know, if it did, we could talk it up a lot more. They might.
Yeah,
well,
my first pass at the review was needs more venereal disease. Full stop.
Right.
2.0.
Well, the fact the game's called Hurry Up Hedgehog, if it did have venereal diseases, there's a whole new context to play there.
Well, personally,
it's like it has its own euphemism.
For me, I'm quite surprised at the new direction Sega is taking the Sonic series.
Really. No, actually, you know, after the last game where Sonic was seen making out with a human girl, I'm not really surprised the next game is called Hurry Up Hedgehog.
Come on.
All right, then.
This doesn't normally happen to me. I'm usually very...
Oh, my God. Oh, what the hell were they thinking?
Yeah. But, so, yeah, before I got Mario Kart, I didn't really play a whole lot, but... there's a few sort of not particularly directly related to the game itself to it plays, but a few interesting things have come up with Mario Kart. Once again, the UK team of Nintendo World Report was on the trail of Nintendo's various PR tentacles. This time they were holding a Mario Kart event in Mercedes-Benz World on an old racetrack in Weybridge. And, you know, it's kind of weird to link Mario Kart to actual racing, considering how slow it is. I thought that was kind of amusing. But what it was kind of like they'd had these pre-release, like, tournaments in game retailer locations. So sort of, you know, the hook was, you know, you get to play Mario Kart early and you might get through and win a prize or whatever, and you'll be invited to this final in the Mercedes-Benz location. And so they were having the final, and somebody was going to win a car that was all sort of decked out in Mario decals and paintwork and all the rest of it. That was the final prize. And, you know, it was just their way of, you know, hyping up the game kind of tangentially with having some, like, you know, very tenuously linked celebrities to racing. Although some of them weren't that.
It sounds like they're doing a lot more to hype the game in Europe.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, it was kind of tenuously. It was amusing to hear the chat that commentates on real Formula One racing very earnestly talking about the use of a blooper. That was very trippy. That was very amusing and stuff. So, you know, there was kind of a sort of when worlds collide element to it that was kind of fun. But like I said, how appropriate it is when you're talking about Mario Kart, sort of, you know, it's kind of getting more and more tenuously linked to racing itself is another matter. But so they, you know, it was just kind of hype stuff, and they was having this competition. It was a bit of fun. But I thought it was quite telling that the very final sort of phase of the tournament, the very final, you've got four guys there racing it out. Although, you know, they have to have the AI guys in there as well. They couldn't just have the four of them racing off against each other.
Yeah.
The AI guys were in there as well. Would you like to take a guess at what happened on the final straight to decide the outcome and who won the car?
Oh, I'm going to guess a blue shell.
Yep, that's
and
right.
The AI won.
No, the AI didn't win, actually, because they did manage to pretty much... But it did affect who of the human competitors did actually win the race and the competition. So that was just hilarious. And the funny thing is it hadn't happened in the previous stages that I had seen. So it was like, oh, well, you know, they've been quite lucky here. It hasn't actually revealed how bullshitty it could be. Oh, wait, it's revealed it in the worst possible way.
Yeah, I really can't think of a game less appropriate to have a tournament with than Mario Kart.
Indeed, that's kind of, yeah.
That's like having a Mario Party tournament.
Yeah, exactly. It's really verging.
You might as well flip coins.
It is verging on it, especially the way they set it up, because some of the features in this game, actually, that we'll come to later on, means it doesn't actually have to be that way, but then maybe it's not Mario Kart anymore, so... Maybe that's why they did it, or it was just laziness. But regardless of how pertinent all that kind of stuff was, the real news that I saw just today when we were recording was that, in fact, apparently Mario Kart, which went on sale in Europe on Friday, had the 8th fastest selling first week ever in British history. And
really?
that meant that its first week... outsold the first weeks of the five other games that are available for Wii with Mario in the title, which includes the ridiculously selling Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games in Europe combined. So Mario Galaxy, Mario and Sonic, Mario Party, Super Paper Mario, and one other that's eluding me just yet. All combined were beaten by just Mario Kart.
Mario Strikers.
Yeah, Mario Strikers. Yeah, that'd be the other. It sold quite well as well. So, I mean, yeah. That is shocking how well it sold. They obviously did something right.
That's baffling. Maybe they put it in... Are you sure they weren't advertising it as Super Smash Brothers, maybe?
No, I know why it sold well. It's because everyone thought they could buy it for the friggin' plastic wheel and play Excitetruck with it, except that doesn't work. Yeah, it'd be like kind of bouncing a plate to play Excitetruck.
It does kind of make me sad because of how much I love Galaxy. As far as Galaxy goes, I've always thought that if Galaxy were a place, I'd kind of like to go there when I die. It's just such a wonderful, and that kind of makes me sad. But at the same time, you know, in terms of just the 8th fastest selling in history thing, I mean, that's just amazing. Because, I mean, we're not in a holiday season or anything like that. You know, I mean, that's pretty impressive stuff. So you've got to hand it to them. They're really doing well. It'd be interesting how Smash Brothers could stack up with that. Because maybe it just doesn't have the sort of casual appeal over here that pushes it more. You know, because that tends to be what dominates the charts here a bit more than perhaps in America.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, all right. I guess it's my turn to close out new business. I'll try to be quick here. Speaking of Galaxy, I actually played Galaxy the first time in ages this week, and I was had been at like 116 stars or something like that for a while. Anyway, I finally wrapped it up, got the last couple stars, beat the game again. The ending, I thought the ending was going to be different, but it's totally not. It's just the same friggin' ending. And then all you hear is like, Super Luigi Galaxy! and then you get a menu option. It's kind of weak presentation as far as that big bonus goes. But, I mean, it's cool. I like the idea that they give you this reason to play through the game again, because for me, because it's been so long since I played through the bulk of the game, I'm actually kind of tempted to just start over and play through the whole game again, or at least I'm sure that I will within the next few months. At some point, I'm going to be like, man, I really want to play a good chunk of Galaxy again, just because I've kind of forgotten it. I mean, it's like one of those games that I played through so fast that I couldn't even really process everything I was doing, and I can't even remember large portions of the game.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Although the interesting thing is, I didn't actually start playing the Luigi quest right away, and my girlfriend was over, and because I had just beaten the game with Mario, I was like, oh, hey, you know, the game's already in the Wii. I was like, I should show you this, because it's a really cool game, and she's a smart girl. I knew she would appreciate all the physics and the momentum and the gravity stuff, because, I mean, that's really cool. If you have any kind of a nerdy streak in you, you're going to freak out when you see that. She picked it up, and it's like she's not played much Wii at all. So she wasn't even sure what to do with the nunchuck at first. I had to tell, you know, I'd kind of explain how to hold the controller in that way. I think she'd only really done like Wii Sports before that. But she picked it up pretty quickly, and honestly, she would have had much less trouble playing the game if it weren't for the way Luigi controls.
Yeah, he's more hardcore.
That guy has like oil on his shoes. I mean, he's all over the friggin' place. You cannot stop him.
Well, it's more like old school Mario, though, isn't it? The inertia and all those. Because Mario in Galaxy himself controls very slowly and he stops on a dime, which is not really like Mario when you think of the side scrollers.
I mean, it reminds me more of The Lost Worlds, you know, like the Japanese version.
Oh, where Luigi was different, wasn't he, in that as well?
That's right. They were different in that one, and basically the difference was Luigi could jump higher, but he didn't stop as quickly.
Yeah.
He had more inertia. So I think it's kind of like that. So far, though, I can't really tell any advantage of playing as Luigi. It seems more like a thing to make the game harder.
Yeah, it is. I think it is. Especially,
but maybe he can jump a little higher, but the way Galaxy's designed, that wouldn't really help you in very many places. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I felt bad making her play through the hard quest. But she played through the first two or three stars, and the thing that it made me remember that I'd forgotten is that some of those early stars, and I guess it's because the past 3 or 4 months, anytime I've played Galaxy, I've basically been doing comets, and those tend to be like really fast, kind of like just speed runs, you know?
Yeah.
But the first few stars in the game, in the first Galaxy, are really long. They take like 10 or 15 minutes to get them.
Relatively, yeah.
Especially if you don't know exactly what to do. I was thinking, damn, these levels are long. Really long. So it was an interesting observation, I think, in light of the fact that, you know, when Galaxy was announced, a lot of people were worried that, you know, the levels would be too easy or they'd be too short because you're on these tiny little planets or whatever. But the fact is, on a lot of those stars, you have to go among like 6 or 7 different planets, and sometimes you have to go back to earlier ones, and then you fight a boss or something. And some of those levels are quite lengthy just for one star. It's crazy. But wrapping up really quickly, I did play some PC stuff. I finally finished Bioshock. I played like the last hour and a half of that. I have to say the last stretch of it is really cool. What happens to your character and the final boss is really interesting. It did suck, though. I ran into a technical glitch where the last level before you get to the final boss, all the text disappeared from my game. So I couldn't tell how much ammo I had or how many med kits I had left or what people were saying to me or any of that. And it was kind of strange, but at that point I knew the interface so well that I kind of could do without. The shitty part was when I hit escape, I couldn't see the menu with save and load and things like that. And I wanted to save the game and quit playing because it was late, but I couldn't. I was afraid to do that. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to save my game, and I didn't want to lose my progress. So basically, it forced me to go ahead and play far enough until I got to an autosave, which is like between chapters, which ended up being right before the final boss. So I just went ahead and beat the final boss too. And then, of course, I did what everyone who plays Bioshock does. When I get to the end, you see your ending, and then you go on YouTube and you watch the other ending because it's totally not worth playing through the game again to get the other ending. They're like 60 seconds long. But anyway, by the way, if anyone's wondering, I was a bad guy. I harvested. I killed them little bitches, and I don't regret it. They're creepy.
Horrible.
Yep. They're creepy, and I hate them, and I'm very, very happy to pull the slugs out of them and eat those. So, so with Bioshock out of the way, I finally kind of cleared out that backlog that was keeping me from doing other stuff on my PC. So I got it. I popped in the orange box, or I should say I loaded it from Steam, and I started a new game of Portal, which is fun. It's easy to do. Like, it's not intimidating because it's a short game. So I loaded up Portal and played it with the commentary tracks, which is pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, halfway through that. And then I also played, believe it or not, Team Fortress 2 for about an hour. It's the first time I've played it since October, I think. And it really does run beautifully on my new graphics card and Service Pack 1 and all that crap. I mean, I don't know what had the biggest effect, because it's all just compounded at this point. But it ran beautifully. I had a lot of fun. I mean, I'm not that good at it, but I can enjoy it regardless. And I was kind of getting better, so I might try to play more of that. I think Steven and I are going to try to play.
Yeah, I haven't played it online yet just because I haven't had time to, but I've been meaning to.
Yeah. Well, I see you log into Steam every now and then, so I know you're around. I don't know what you're doing. You used to be playing Trackmania, but not anymore.
Yeah, I actually need to go back and play Trackmania some more, too. Yeah. Because they're going to have, like, a new set of, like, free blocks for the level editor, so I want to try those out.
Well, one last update before we go to a break and come back with Nintendo actual gaming goodness on the other side is that, you know, my friggin' Magic the Gathering auction that I put up last week, you know, I put a link in the article and everything like I said I would, but apparently no one cares because right now it's at $5. I'm very disappointed in our listenership and in the world,
haven't you seen the news on the economy? You know, people are getting foreclosed on, and you're asking them to buy your cards. How dare
you? Hey, man, you know, you've got a stimulus. Well, we have a stimulus check coming. You don't, Greg. you remain saddled with your back-breaking tax rates. But we get a stimulus package sometime, like this month or next month, and that's what credit cards are for. You throw it on there and then you pay it off once you get your money.
Oh, yeah.
The real way,
I don't get the problem.
Is there any greater multiplier effect than those people taking their rebate checks and spending it on your auction? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I know.
Johnny, come on.
This is like feeding into the economy. This is the trickle down shit, you know?
Why should people spend $5 on all those worthless real magic cards when they could buy fake magic cards online?
Well, you know, some people actually, by the way, they're not fake. some people still care about the paper cards. I'm not one of them. Obviously, I think they're virtually worthless to me because I don't have anybody to play them with. Like, I don't want them anymore.
Well, this is
but
why we have
tried. That's the beauty of eBay is you sell the stuff that is worth nothing to you, and you sell it to somebody who it is worth something to.
Well, it's apparently worth nothing to anybody for only $5.
Yeah, I know. Well, there are watchers on there, but I think they're all snipers. No. So, yeah, it's probably going to end up going for, like, $6 at the last minute.
Unfortunately, they're going to aim for your auction. And
it's not even two packs.
They're going to aim for your auction and hit Hillary Clinton, unfortunately. Because you know.
Oh, boy.
You know, she's always.
Whoa, let's stay out of that zone.
Congratulations.
Anyway.
You've just now gotten us listened by the Secret Service.
Yeah, really. Hey, guys. Play your Wii.
Yeah, well,
the Secret Service
must be listening to Leno as well, then.
Yeah. All right, that's the end of new business. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute with everything you need to know about the Nintendo of America Media Summit that just happened last week. All right, we are back, and as many of you know, probably I would wager to say by far the most of you know, last week Nintendo of America held a media summit, kind of like a spring preview. I guess it's sort of like their, you know, here's a morsel before E3 to tide you over. They had that kind of event, and they let some people, some elitist few, play a couple of games for Wii and DS and WiiWare, I guess. And Steven was there Carmine Red, Chiron, was there also. Unfortunately, he could not make it on the show today. We did ask. And Aaron was there. Aaron Kaluska was there to play a couple of things, too. So, Steven, fill us in, dude. What'd you do?
Well, let's see. Just let me go down the games on the list we're going to talk about here really quick. Mario Kart, Samba de Amigo for Wii. Yes. Boom Blocks, Space Invaders Extreme for DS. World of Goo, Lost Winds. Let's see what else they had. They had Final Fantasy there briefly.
Nobody cares about that.
Yeah, of course not. Geez, what else was there? I have my list around here somewhere. Hold on, I have to make a sound like I'm getting my list.
Sounds like you're crumbling your list up.
No, I have to say, just before you get started, Final Fantasy for WiiWare is actually so boring that I don't even want to hear you talk about it.
Oh.
Like, have you, really,
have,
I don't.
Have you played it,
No, it just is so uninteresting to me.
Oh.
Well,
I'm sorry,
I should have impressions on the site as you hear this, but it's actually, it's different. If I had to describe it in a nutshell, I would say it's an MMO from a different perspective.
Yeah, you just made me even less interested in it.
Congratulations.
But yeah,
I really could not care less about that game.
It's really deep. Don't just cast it off because it's not a traditional Final Fantasy, and I'll just say that.
No, it's not that. I mean, I played Crystal Chronicles on GameCube. That wasn't a traditional Final Fantasy. It was a game, though. Like, it was an RPG.
Well, you know, Romance of the Three Kingdoms is a game. And
yeah, I don't want to play that either.
Spreadsheet game.
Anyway, so that, yeah, that's Final Fantasy. But let's see. Let's talk about Mario Kart, which, Greg, you have the full version.
I
played,
have the retail game, yes.
Yeah, and I played quite a bit of it at the Summit. So I guess the good place to start off with would be like the Wii Wheel and how it works the game.
Sure.
It's not perfect, and because of that, it's probably not going to be the way to play the game. But it works pretty well, I have to say.
Yeah, I'd agree with
that.
The
ability to... You can actually... There's actually, I guess you could say weight to the steering.
Yes.
You can feel... Yeah, you can feel yourself. If you have to correct a turn, you can turn the wheel back the other way, and your cart or your motorcycle will actually respond to it.
Yeah.
Power slides are actually pretty good pretty easy to pull off with it. And if you have to look at the videos I have on the site for Mario Kart, you'll actually see that in practice, in action. But the problems I have with it is like the B button on the back. It's actually a little easy to hit on accident.
I've done that, yeah.
I mean, just me just resting the wheel on my lap, I hit the B button and I accidentally hopped. and as a result of that, power slides are going the same way. Whatever way your left or right momentum is going when you hop,
yes,
you'll kind of go into a power slide in that direction. If you're steering a little bit the wrong way and you hop, you'll start sliding in the wrong direction of a turn. That happened to me a couple times.
Yeah, that definitely.
More than a couple times.
That's exactly what happened to me when I used the wheel early on, and it's something that doesn't happen when you're using normal controls ever. So
no, it doesn't.
So that's a definite disadvantage.
Yeah, and it's when you aren't using the wheel, they just had the wheel there, obviously, because they're not
sure.
Going to
play
on a regular
controller.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, the tricks you can do, if you go off a jump and you just, jerk the wheel a little bit, you do, the flip or the spin or whatever, when you land, you get a really big speed
boost.
Yes,
it's more significant than I thought it was going to be from when I read the preview.
Yeah.
It becomes quite a big part of the game. You'll find yourself looking for even little bumps on the track that you can manipulate so that you can get that boost off. You know, so all of a sudden it'll be kind of, it's almost becomes like some Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, where, Jungle Beat, you're kind of trying to find every little thing that can, sustain your combo to keep going. It's kind of how can I pick a race in line so I can go hit this bump, hit this bump, hit this bump, and each time you're getting a pretty significant boost off of that, so it can really speed you along.
Interest waxing.
So that's more interesting than I thought it would be.
That sounds really cool. Well, I have a question for you guys regarding the wheel.
Sure.
Obviously, the wheel itself doesn't actually do anything. It's just to help you hold the controller in a different way. Would you prefer to play the game with the Wii remote without the wheel? I mean, if you could only play, if you didn't have a nunchuck, you didn't have a classic, you didn't have a GameCube controller, you could only play the game with the Wii remote, would you rather use the wheel?
Actually, no. I think I would. Yeah.
It
feels really nice.
I mean, the feel
that
of
thing
it.
To turn around.
Yeah. I mean, the feel of it is definitely a sort of a plus, I would say, in terms of it doesn't feel that cheap or it doesn't, you know, I mean, obviously it's nothing that, the construction of it is nothing fancy, but there's a decent heft to it and, you know, it does help you sort of twist the sort of steering a bit better than just, you know, you've got a little bit of sort of extra leverage rather than sort of trying to do the, and I imagine, like you said, the B button's a bit too easy to hit maybe, but it might have been a bit awkward if you didn't if it was just sort of underneath the pad.
Yeah, but they could have made it a little more resistance in it.
Yeah,
because it just seems,
I'd
like,
agree with that.
I'll
just say if you were
it,
using the
off.
Wii remote naked, so to speak, you know, then the B might have been a little awkward. So it does, it almost makes it too easy to hit, but it being easier to hit per se is kind of a good thing. So that part.
And you know, speaking
of
the
wheel, make you feel like a 3-year-old in the little 5-cent driving machine at the grocery store. You know, like the thing you get on and it just kind of shakes. But it has a wheel and you can turn it.
You know, a little bit. You know, once I get down into it and I'm like serious about landing the power slides and getting around the corners and stuff, and I'm in it. I mean, it's just another way.
Yeah,
to
once
a game.
You get involved in it, you know, submersed in the control of it, which you still can. It's not so distractingly silly as to sort of take you out of the game entirely.
But the thing about the wheel, though, I kind of realized this after I stopped playing it, is that it seems, from what we've been hearing, the only way to pull off all those tricks and stuff is to use, like, you know, the Wii remote. There's no way to do it on the regular controllers.
No, actually, the way you do it is with the traditional pads, is with the D-pad, actually.
Okay.
So what you would do, yes, what you would do if you was using the GameCube pad, obviously, once you hit the lip of a bump or the tip of a ramp, is sort of reach down, you know, nudge the D-pad just at that precise moment, and then that'll activate the same thing. But, yeah.
Okay, what if you're using the nunchuck?
If you're using the nunchuck, you can just tip the Wii remote up in your other hand. And that's the thing. That's the good thing about the nunchuck.
Right, yeah. So you can still use the motion control for
Yes, it's kind of the best of both worlds. You've got the precision and the tightness of analog control for the steering, but you've got that quick, intuitive, free sort of gesture control for the tricks. And the thing is that it's more free to just do that with the one hand than it is to tip the whole wheel up. Really, I mean, it just it feels more kind of casual and more accessible like that than it does even in the wheel. So the Wii Remote nunchuck's a really nice synthesis of the two kind of schools there. And I think a lot of people
sounds like it'll be the best way to play it. I was worried that
it's been my preferred.
If you
so
had
far.
To be forced, yeah, if you had to be forced to use the Wii Remote to get those massive boosts when you do the trick, I don't know if I'd want to play it that much because there are the problems with the Wii Remote getting the power slides and there's a lack of responsiveness when you really need to turn in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. I mean the issue with the wheel for me is that I kind of find it fun in some ways. It does work quite well. One area where I get caught out is it's not like Excite Truck in terms of, and Excite Truck is a comprehensive kind of motion control thing in terms of you actually control the car in the air by tilting the Wii Remote. None
Somewhat
of that's
unrealistically.
There.
It's my favorite part.
Yeah,
of
so and it's me too, and I love Excite Truck. So the point is, there's this part of me that wants to do that when the car's in the air, but of course that's just silly. There's nothing.
Well, actually, I think you do have some pitch control when you're in the
air. I think it's very minor, but it's not anything that sort of couldn't be emulated by an analog stick. Obviously, that's kind of the whole game is like.
You know, actually, now that I think about it, didn't you have pitch control in the SNES version too when you got Airborne?
No, you do an F-Zero.
Yeah, certainly an
F-Zero.
Okay, that's right.
No, but I don't think you do. You know what I mean. The point is, it is essentially, as is demonstrated by the fact that you have all three alternative control schemes that are based around an analog stick. It isn't a comprehensively different kind of controls. It is just applying that as a substitute for analog steering. So if you get into it in ways that you kind of shouldn't, you know, you'll be over sort of gesturing and getting demonstrative and stuff when you shouldn't. The key to it is being sort of disciplined and controlled in your movements. But every so often you will make a mistake with the wheel and you think, I'd never do that with an analog stick. And then
are there any sensitivity settings for the motion control?
As far as I know, there aren't. But
that's a shame. You know, one of the problems with Excite Truck, and I'm also, like Greg, a big fan of that game, but when I brought people over, I thought Excite Truck was the perfect Wii game to move people beyond Wii Sports, you know, because it's a looks easy to control. It looks fun to control. It's a simple game. It's very arcadey. Mm. It's loud and exciting. Yeah. And a lot of people, when I gave them the controller in Excite Truck, they could not control it. They couldn't keep the friggin' truck on the road because it's so sensitive. And they would just wildly overdo it because, I mean, if you think about the way Wii Sports, there is some nuance to Wii Sports, but you are making large movements. It encourages that. It allows for that. Whereas Excite Truck does not. If you do like a big, like 18-wheeler kind of steering, you're not even gonna stay in the race for more than 10 seconds. And I kind of thought with Mario Kart maybe they would kind of compensate for that, or at least put in a newbie mode or whatever you want to call it for people who have no idea
I mean, that's the natural thing. What they have done is that in terms of the power sliding issue, they've kind of, because obviously what it is that the way you would steer in Mario Kart as ever is that, you know, steering won't take you around particularly sharp corners. You're going to have to power slide for that. And the thing is that obviously, yeah, with that, you've got to press the button to hop and then all of that business. So that's kind of a little advanced for you know, maybe your small children who would be using the wheel, and, you know, it's very sort of play kind of thing. So what they've got is automatic mode. So you choose between automatic and manual vis-a-vis power sliding. And with the automatic mode, basically, you don't have to actually initiate a power slide. You just kind of do it as you steer more heavily.
Yeah, I mean, I can appreciate the usefulness of that, but I think it doesn't address what I was just talking about, in that if I give this game to my mom, and she, you know, if she watches me play this, she sees the wheel, she's like, oh, that looks fun, I want to play that. And she would. I mean, she likes Wii Sports. So if she sees me playing this and she wants to try it, power slides are really not the first order of business here. She's going to have a hard time keeping the cart on the track.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, it will help with that.
And you know what? The thing about it is, though, you have to consider the motorcycles, too, which are a lot more unwieldy than the carts are.
They turn very tightly in some cases.
I'll definitely tell her not to drive a motorcycle then.
It goes one step further, because I don't know if this is actually true, Greg. You can confirm this or not. But how they have the classes defined, 50, 100, and 150.
Yeah.
50 is carts only, 100 is motorcycles only, and 150 is both.
Yeah.
Is that true, Greg?
That is accurate. I understand at some point.
That's what
I read
online.
Yeah, and I understand it is at some point possible to unlock all vehicles for all classes. But in terms of what's really pertinent here is what it's like from the start up, and that is accurate.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, if the motorcycles are harder to control, then that means that you probably, I guess you can only do 50cc when you first open the game.
No, they do actually have all the speed classes available from the beginning, but not all of the tracks. Each speed class is available from the beginning, but you have just half of the cups, which I was very grateful for, because I hate playing through the baby classes to unlock the good stuff. I hate it.
All right, well, we're running a little long on Mario Kart, but Greg, can you tell us some things about multiplayer and online?
Yeah. I mean, the online experience so far, because I'm depending on the site and its forums and its staff for most of my friend codes, I don't really have any friend codes yet. But I could comment in terms of one thing that looks good so far. I haven't quite explored it fully yet, but it's integrated. You know, you've got this Mario Kart channel that installed separately from the game.
Yeah, and that is on the Wii menu.
Yeah,
it will
be on the Wii menu. It requires 86 blocks, by the way. So if you die in for space on there, that could be a consideration.
Okay, because there were a lot of conflicting reports. Like at first, they're like, "Oh, this will be on the Wii menu," and then they said, "No, you can only access it within the game."
It is both. Yeah. So I mean, if you are like, "I am not spending 86 blocks on that," all the functionality is on the disc. On the other hand, if you appreciate the convenience of not having to put the disc in to use some of these things, it can be on the Wii menu.
That's surprisingly forward.
Yeah, and the thing about it is,
especially
that's
regarding
good as
well. Online.
Well, the way where it becomes pertinent to online is that what you can do with it is it actually sort of interfaces with your Wii message board friends. You know, the Wii numbers that you've got, and you can actually message them directly and
blasphemy.
Yeah, you can actually message them directly and say and sort of invite them to sort of add your Mario Kart code. No, so I haven't actually done this yet completely.
We have progress
because of this situation, but that looks promising. So you know, you can.
It does sound kind of.
So
awesome
you can actually, you can, so you can kind of exchange codes in that kind of framework without putting the disc in the game at all, you know, and all the rest of it. So that's better. It's getting there, and I think you can check.
Well, it sounds like the. Wait. I mean, it sounds like the real advantage of that system is that you don't even have to write down numbers.
I don't. Yeah, like I like. Wanna... So I don't think. I'm pretty sure
yeah,
that
it,
you
it
wouldn't.
It imports
but
a number,
I'm not...
right?
I don't know for sure yet. Like I said, I can't say for certain because I haven't.
That would be ideal. I mean, that's kind of that would be
that was
awesome.
What we were
you know,
expecting
if you could
originally.
Put in a Nintendo game and actually. Connect with the people who you've already traded numbers with.
Which is
shock
yeah,
and awe.
Which is what has been sorely lacking. I mean, that is the real, you know, the fact yeah. that
that's the obvious thing. I don't mind trading numbers with someone once, but I shouldn't have to do it with every single fucking game. So if Mario Kart is like the first one that actually gets around that,
I mean, you could still add friend codes directly if for some reason you didn't want to add a certain person to you. You know, if you feared you could have a good game, if you could have a good game of Mario Kart with them, but you fear that you'd be getting spammed with all sorts of terrible things done on the Wii's photo channel, if you added them to your Wii message board, then there's that option.
That did happen from forum members as soon as I got my Wii. I got some really nice. Horrific things from the photo channel.
Greg, have you been able to play, like, I guess you said you
yeah.
don't really
so
have
the
any
friend, the
friend
stuff has been
in yet, but can you play randomly?
Yeah, random's there, and random is good so far. Very, very good. It's smooth. You're not waiting around for a very long time to get matches like you would be in Brawl. You know,
so it's more like Mario Kart DS.
It is more like Mario Kart DS,
but
there
DS
is a key.
Pretty long waiting, too.
Well, it's sometimes. More like Mario Kart DS, but the difference is that Mario Kart DS, where that works, is it sets up, like, it tries to get four of you and then puts you in a competition of four races. In this case, there really isn't anything like that. It's purely just you race continuously, individual races. People drop in, drop out. I think if they drop out in the middle of a race, it does the old Smash Brothers substitute in with an AI guy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, of course. But you know, people could drop in, drop out, and it doesn't slow it down or anything. It's just kind of it just flows. You know, you go from race to race, and the incentive for competing in this case, rather than a little tournament between you, is that the better you finish, it adds points to your rating. I guess it kind of works like, you know, in like Wii Sports. Like if your bowling score,
it works like the Magic the Gathering.
No,
ratings.
We're not bringing that back into the conversation.
Now we're talking about
hey,
context.
It's relevant.
So it's kind of like
all right.
Is it full anonymity in random matches?
It's not full. It's not full anonymity actually, because it will.
Don't you see your Miis?
You can have it. Will if you register a Mii. To as your sort of profile when you start the game, and then when you take that online, that me will be sort of, you have the little face and the name of that me above your cart, and it says in the manual, it tells you, don't put anything that basically people could deduce your name from, or, you know, anything that you're not comfortable with. Presumably someone would not name their me after their bank details. So
yeah, but I think there will be a lot of Mario Kart racers named Dick.
Yeah,
well, I think
Richard is suddenly going to
this may
to,
astonish
yeah.
you, but I have not. This
name.
May astonish you, but I've not tested the swear filter by creating offensive Miis. But
see, Dick would have.
Oh,
to make
yeah,
it
Dick
through,
would have to make it through. They can't do that. But anything more bold,
yeah.
I don't know whether that would slip.
Well, I can't wait
till
I get to race Hitler for the first time.
Oh, well, always... the Miis stuff is kind of
yeah, and Michael Jackson and Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, the Miis stuff's always... kind of funny because they get integrated just like in normal races, like they're the crowd, and when you're in the mall level, they have adverts like where your Miis are the models. If you look closely at some of the stuff.
But you can also race as your
you
me
can.
Eventually,
which
right?
Quite,
I think it's unlockable.
Which weirdly
but...
is quite a somewhat challenging unlockable, I would have thought, for some people. Like, the people who are going to be really interested in racing as their Miis, are they going to win the special cup on 100cc? I mean, to do it? I mean, that's kind of... That's a weird decision to me. That doesn't make much sense. But
That seems like a kind of out of the box thing. But yeah, we need to move on from Mario Kart.
Actually, Johnny, let me say one more thing about the online.
Yeah.
Because we did get to play a little bit of an online at the summit.
Are you sure you weren't playing against Charles Martinet across the wall?
No, actually, I'm quite confident I was actually playing people in Europe, and I know this because I actually got to see some of the secret unlockable characters.
Yeah.
That Nintendo said, nah, don't really talk about these guys. Well, I said, screw you, I'm going to talk about them anyway.
You got Rob and Star Wolf.
Yeah, actually, I saw Princess Rosalina.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Yes, that's good.
Yeah. And she actually has the least annoying vocalizations of anybody because she's relatively restrained.
Right.
Yeah.
Although
they haven't peachified her yet.
She does have one of those lumas with them that makes that disturbing squeaky noise sometimes. That's kind of freaky.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And here's one that a particular member of our forums will be excited over, Baby Daisy.
Oh, hi, I'm Daisy.
No. It's better than that.
If you're into Daisy, you need to hear the last Retronauts.
Do you think I can one-up Daisy?
Go for it.
Baby Daisy. There you go.
No, dude, that is really creepy. I don't want that guy in our forums anywhere near that. Baby Daisy, are you serious? That's in the game?
Yes, I am completely serious.
Oh my god.
I'm actually envisioning his icon being Baby Daisy now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
Let's get that image out of our heads right now. But I want to keep saying that when you join a match that's already in progress, you can spectate it while
it's
going on.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
That's cool. Doesn't it seem like you should probably keep Waluigi and Baby Daisy as far apart from each other as possible?
I don't want to go there.
I think we're done talking about Mario Kart.
Yes. I really, really, really want to hear about Samba de Amigo.
Samba de Amigo on the Wii. Well, it's going to be a combination of the original Samba and the 2000 version that only came out in Japan. So they're going to have
New songs?
Well, and they're going to have new songs for the Wii, too. They're going to be over 40 songs, at least they said. So they've got, what is it called? The hustle mode, where you can do the motions with the maracas. But most pertinently, I think, the biggest thing about Samba de Amigo is that it will be the first Wii game where one person can hold two Wii remotes.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant. Okay, but Steven, you have to explain this to us a little bit. Can you play it with the remote and nunchuck combo?
Yes, you can do that too.
So the advantage of playing with two remotes is just that there's no cord?
Well, the advantage of playing with two remotes is you get the maraca sound out of both of them.
Nice.
And actually, when we were playing the version they had on the had over at the summit, the nunchuck side felt a lot different than the Wii remote side, and I think that's because they don't quite got the accelerometer setting sorted yet. Because the nunchuck shaking was a lot more sensitive than the remote shaking, and because they weigh differently, the accelerometer settings are different. When I was talking to the guys at Sega, they revealed that this whole Samba thing wasn't initiated by Sega. It was actually Gearbox going to Sega with the idea. And then Sega said, that's a good idea. So they went ahead and did it.
Wow. I mean, they could have gone to us for that idea 2 years ago.
It really says something about the dearth of creativity at Sega, doesn't it? You couldn't even come up with that on your own, really?
Well, Steven, actually, did you get any sense of how they're determining the height that you hold the remote at as you shake it?
Well, no.
And the nunchuck, too?
Well, I know that in the Dreamcast games, you had to input, your height. But that's not going to be an issue anymore in the Wii game, because all it's going to determine is whether or not you're pointing the remote upwards, downwards, or keeping them flat.
Wait. But the nunchuck doesn't have a pointer.
Well, no. It's not the pointer. It's the accelerometer.
It's determining the orientation.
Yeah.
So then it doesn't actually matter how high up you do this. It just matters which way you point the controllers.
Yeah.
Like which way you angle them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's also how it's going to determine whether or not you're if you have the remote in your right hand, and you're prompted to put both controllers to the left, it's going to know that the controller in your right hand is pointing to the left, because that controller is going to be pointing down the opposite direction that would normally be pointing down through the accelerometers. You understand what I'm saying?
That's if you're shaking it across your body.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you have the remote in your right hand, you have to. The game tells you to shake it on your left side downwards. That's what you're saying.
Well, yeah, because in the what's it called? That one, the one mode, hustle mode.
you have to do poses. Like, sometimes it's put both maracas in the air, like one on your left and one on your right. But sometimes it's put both maracas to your left. So that at that point, they're no longer separated. It's like the one on your left hand pointed to the left and the one on your right hand pointed to the same left. You know what I mean? So the accelerometers can get that for the most part, although in the build I played there, it felt a little laggy. But I think that was because they didn't quite... It's still a work in progress because they're going to come out this summer, so that's a couple months still. So I don't know, but once I got used to everything I was doing about as well as I did as I remember in the Dreamcast game, which was like getting C's and low B's. So
man, I thought you were a rhythm god, Wendy.
Well, that was like 8 years ago, man. That was another time.
Lost the stat.
We had some good E3 moments playing Samba at the first couple E3s.
One final note on Samba. Obviously, there will be no maracas because you can just use the Wii controller, which is a little disappointing. But I actually talked to Sega and they said they're exploring the possibilities of perhaps having like a maraca snap in a controller, because come on, the game was the way it was because you can use maracas and you could use them whether or not you were playing the game or not. So
I would support that if the maracas aren't just a plastic shell, but they actually have like plastic beads in them, so they make a stronger sound.
Of course, that's yeah. They have to.
Yeah, that would be okay. That would be acceptable, actually.
So I'm secretly hoping for that. But if everything gets fixed with the accelerometers, I think it'll be pretty good.
Sweet. Well, that's exciting.
What's next?
Go back up to the list here. You know what? I don't even have the list anymore. I think
I got it. Let's see. Next on our list is Boomblocks, Spielberg's game.
Yeah.
And yes, it's actually Spielberg's game, Johnny. I know you in the past you said, oh, Spielberg probably just has his name on it. Well, no, he doesn't. He actually put a lot of input into the game.
That's cool. I assumed that he did. I just was surprised that he used his creative juices to create this instead of something more Spielberg-y.
Like Animaniacs? He made Animaniacs.
Even that is more Spielberg-y.
Well, why not games, huh?
By the way, I actually do question how much input he had in Animaniacs.
Well,
that's a series. Like he might have like put his thoughts into the first couple episodes, but that show ran for years. He wasn't involved.
He wasn't even involved in Jurassic Park 3, was he? Hardly.
He produced it. He didn't.
Yeah, he really didn't. But in terms of just visiting the set,
the only thing involved in Jurassic Park 3 was a contract of crap.
He might have even been an executive producer, which means he may have visited.
I'm pretty laissez-faire one at that.
Anyways, Boomblocks.
Yes,
Boomblocks. Honestly, even with Mario Kart there, I think Boomblocks was the best game there.
Really? That's strong.
Yeah. It had the biggest crowds. Everybody was having the best time with it. Honestly, this is going to be a significant game when it comes out. It's just
coming out soon, isn't it? Like early May?
May. Yeah, I think it's sometime in May.
I think it's really soon.
It's
a couple weeks.
Just around the corner.
3 weeks.
I mean, you've probably seen the previews and all the videos and the trailer. There's going to be a trailer and we took some gameplay video of it too. You guys won't see it yet, but everybody who's listening to this has already seen it. But this game is just deep. It's really hard to say how much stuff is going to be in this. I mean, I don't think it's to the level of Smash Brothers amount of stuff in it, but it's far beyond any other kind of game with how much content's going to be in it. Like the one mode that everybody seemed to be gravitating toward there was this, I forget what it's called exactly, but basically it's just this one mode where they have this like Jenga-like stack of blocks all set up in various towers. And you have the Wii remote and you aim where you want to throw a ball at the tower. And just when you hit the right spot, you lock it in with the A button. You keep the A button held down and just like you're throwing a pitch in Wii Sports baseball, you just hurl the remote forward and let go of the A button to throw like a baseball at the stack, and wherever it hits, physics takes over and blocks get dislodged and gravity makes things fall down. Whatever falls down, you get points for based on point values of all the blocks. And we had like a bunch of four player games going, and it was really cool because you had to consider strategy of not only how much risk you to take because everything is grounded in physics. If you throw a ball toward the bottom of a stack,
there's so much weight of the blocks above it, they're harder to dislodge. But if you can dislodge them, the entire stack above it's likely to just come falling down and you get huge points. So the strategy is, with four players alternating, you have to consider, well, if I try to go for it and I miss, the next person is probably going to be able to hit it because of all the blocks that you loosened before. And so, like, we were all coming up with these crazy throwing strategies. Like, one I found is that you can move the camera around and also a little bit below and all the way up above, and you can throw it from the balls from basically any angle. So something I found is that there is a block kind of sticking out from the stack, and the free end was sticking out, and the side inside the stack was kind of below other blocks. I found if I threw a ball straight down on the tip of that one block that was sticking out, that kind of is a lever, and it would just push all the blocks that are on top of it into the air, kind of like a catapult. And that would be lots of good points. It was really addicting, and I have to say,
do the blocks fall back down onto the stack and basically kind of form a new stack?
Yeah, they can.
That don't fall off.
They can. It's like if you actually hit a block in the right way, or the wrong way, depending on how you look at it, it will just slide out from all the other ones above it, and what's on top will just plop straight down, and they won't fall off.
That's really cool.
So it's like a physics kind of toy box, almost.
That's exactly the way to put it, and that's just one of the modes. Like, there's another mode where you throw a ball at a block, and that block gets launched toward a dartboard-sized target, and if you can make the block hit the middle of the target, you get like a 10 times multiplier. Let's see what else was there. There are different types of objects you can throw. Like, you can throw a bowling ball, which has a lot more inertia behind it than just a baseball.
Oh, cool.
Let's see. Then that's just that kind of mode. I mean, there are other, like, the single player mode is just knock down all the blocks with as few throws as possible. So it's kind of like a spatial puzzle game kind of deal. And there are special blocks that disappear when you hit them with a ball. They're chemical blocks that explode when two of them contact each other. They're bomb blocks that explode when you throw a ball at them. There are little animal blocks that behave certain ways, like a chicken block will walk around and randomly lay bomb blocks, and other animals will walk around and try to eat little lesser animal blocks like the chickens, and other ones will try to protect the lesser animals. And there's just a mind-blowing amount of possibilities with this game, which is why I'm really excited for it, because it's going to be like a level editor where you can make your own like single-player modes and or single-player levels and multiplayer levels, and just Rube Goldberg machines if you want to make them, which they demonstrated that. So,
okay, my question is, did you get any sense of the online capabilities of this game?
They didn't have anything to show there, but I did hear that they're going to have stuff where you can download, like submit and download custom stages and levels, which is really the big thing, which I think.
Yeah, so like Brawl.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm pretty sure that you can like trade your custom levels with your friends, right?
Yeah.
But this being EA, I'm wondering if you have to go through the friend code system, or if they're doing it a different way.
You know, I don't know, but either way, it's going to be awesome. So I don't care about that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I'm not nitpicking here. I'm just saying, I mean, this sounds cool, and if the level editor is that good, you know, I want to be able to. I'm not expecting online play. I'm not really sure if that would work too well given the design of the game, but it sounds like it's kind of ripe for some nice Wii Connect 24 kind of content delivery system.
Yeah, I mean, if,
you know, like Brawl, but hopefully better.
I don't think it's going to have that, but just the ability to be able to import levels and stages and stuff that other people have made by itself, you know, whether manually or automatically, it's going to be awesome. Because there's going to be some wild shit in this game. I can guarantee you that.
So, Space Invaders Extreme.
Extreme!
I saw a few weeks ago, and I'm not really Space Invaders is before my time, but I do like Galaga and stuff like that. I was watching a video of this on YouTube, and I was like, damn, that looks fun. This is a DS game, right?
Yeah, DS and also PSP, it's awesome. And it's actually, you're right about that it looks like Galaga, but it's actually kind of a weird conglomeration of a bunch of old classic games, given that kind of luminous music, visual, color-y, you know, rave.
Is it a Q
upgraded
Entertainment thing?
No, it's Taito.
Taito, okay.
They also did
Arkanoid DS, which I've heard is quite good.
So there's some, it's basically Space Invaders where you got your ship and you got the waves of aliens, But there's a couple things. One, all the different aliens are different colors, and if you can kill four aliens of the same color, they'll, a little weapon power-up will drop.
Hmm.
And if you get that, your ship will do like a big, giant laser that cuts through everything, or like a 5-wide broadshot, or a bomb that explodes on impact and kind of takes out all the aliens around wherever you hit it. There's also like a kind of a Galaga minigame. It's not really a minigame. It's kind of like a bonus game where you get into bonus mode. You just have to shoot down an X amount of ships in a certain amount of time. And it actually plays a lot more like Galaga, the Space Invaders.
Sweet.
Yeah, and if you complete that, you go into fever mode where all the music kicks up and you have this super powerful weapon and you can just kick all kinds of ass. And like, you know, like the Q games, it's audio, interactive audio. So every time you shoot and every time you hit something, you get like a little beat or a little sound effect going. And the better you do, the more the music picks up and, you know, the more you can zone out into it, and it's just awesome.
So would you say it's like maybe like Meteos in that it's not that the music is tied in with the game. It's not that it's a rhythm game or that you need to be good at music or rhythm to play the game, but it's almost like you're creating music by playing the game.
That's exactly
That's awesome. That's perfect.
It's really fun. I'm definitely going to get it. It's great. So that was Space Invaders Extreme.
Nice. Let's,
World of Goo. What else we got? World of Goo. Of Goo.
Yeah.
Let's get into the WiiWare stuff. World of Goo. I didn't hear about this game before they announced it, which was on Friday. It was like part of the little WiiWare presentation they had. And
there were quite a few WiiWare games there, weren't there?
There were six or seven, I think.
Yeah.
But I'll get to those. I'll get to those
more than
it'll
fit on your Wii.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, when the developer is called 2D Boy, and it's actually just really two guys. And during the press conference, they said that they were literally guys who lived in cafes and stole internet to develop the game. So, <Nice. laughs> yeah. So when I heard that, I was like, "Gee, Nintendo's really serious about this. Open up WiiWare indie developers, because if two guys who live in cafes and steal internet can make a really good game like World of Goo, then this is really exciting stuff we're getting into." and World of Goo. They showed us this really good trailer during the press conference. It was the first time anybody has ever seen that trailer. I mean, they have a trailer up. You can kind of see what the game's about up at their website. Actually, right now, you don't even need to wait for the embargo for that. But they have basically the premise of the game is that you're in this kind of post-apocalypse, just this alternate reality where these little cute little goo balls kind of just doing about their own thing, and then this evil corporation is looking to get all the goo balls just for like a Soylent Green type of product.
Nice.
And it's basically a physics kind of puzzle where you start with this grid, this small little grid where you can grab a goo ball with the Wii Remote pointer and kind of drag it off to the side of the grid. And once you do that, the grid kind of starts to expand. And as the grid expands more and more, you can build it in certain directions. So the premise of the game is basically to reach a pipe where you can all your excess goo balls that you have left over from building the structure gets sucked up into the pipe, and after you meet a quota, you beat that level. So some of the early levels are simple. They're just build a tower to get as high as you can. Some of them are a little more complex where you have to build a bridge across something, and then some of them get really crazy in which you have to build up and around something. So it's not like straight up. It's first you have to build left, then you have to build up, then you have to build right. But there are all of these physics at play. So the goo isn't really a rigid structure either. So there's some wobble to the tower and some wobble to the gravity affecting on it. So it can topple over if you don't build it right.
So it's kind of another Jenga type thing in that you're trying to build a structure that won't fall over.
Well, yes and no. There are exceptions to that because there are different types of balls. Like there's this one level called Tumbler where you're inside this slowly rotating drum, and the exit pipe's at the top, but your goo balls, if you try to build up, by the time the level rotates, the thing will just fall back down just because of the level rotating. So you need to build it in a way to where by the time the thing rotates up to the top, your goo ball tower has reached the pipe. And actually, there are a lot more things, too. Like, there are special goo balls that inflate like balloons when you attach them to something. So you can kind of use those to prop up your bridge as you build it across a long chasm. Like that one level, there are like spikes below and above, so you can't. You have to be careful about when you place your balloons, or otherwise they'll pop when they hit the spikes at the top. It looks like a really, really fascinating little puzzler game.
It sounds like WiiWare is going to cater a lot to these kinds of games that are sort of physics-based, because it's like you can create a lot of content with very little storage space when you have the game engine running on that sort of thing. So it's not like you have to create a lot of assets in order to build a lot of levels and give the game some longevity.
Yeah,
but I guess that's sort of contrasts with the other WiiWare game that you have here, or a couple others, I guess.
Well, let's see. Next one is one I've been kind of looking forward to, maybe for obvious reasons if you know about me, but it's Lost Winds. don't chuckle.
It's just
what do you want from me?
It seems a little facile, really. I've got to be honest. Hello. It's got your name in the title, so immediately you're on it.
That's right. I'm so popular, they name games after me.
Hey, you know, 2IP does that too. It's like anything with Luigi, he freaks out over.
Yeah, but it's a platformer game with some puzzle elements in it. The thing about it that kind of initially frustrated me is that the fact that your main character can't jump. I picked up
Ionic
on this
Commando.
Yeah, but you don't have an extendy arm. You have this little cursor that makes wind blow wherever you kind of, streak
it
across.
Well, obviously it's compared to Kirby Canvas Curse, and so Kirby could dash when you tapped him. Is there something analogous to that?
Not really. I mean, your character, you can move your character around with the analog stick, but for the most part, you're indirectly controlling him anytime you want to get him airborne through, the cursor, wherever you draw the cursor. A little gust of wind appears, and then so if you want him to jump, you have to draw a wind gust up and over him so he goes in that direction.
Okay.
The really cool thing about it, I think, is that when you're just moving your cursor around, the wind kind of gusts around, all the background elements interact with the wind. So if there's some trees and you move your cursor across them, the leaves will rustle, and there's a windmill. If you move the cursor around the windmill will go around. And there's actually gameplay tied to this, because there are like waterfalls and torches in the background. So if you blow, if you move the cursor through a waterfall, the water will kind of spray onto objects, around the windstream. And there are little plants, little seeds you can plant in the ground. And if you spray water on those, you'll get like a little launcher pod, which will, launch your character into the air.
So little things like that are actually used in the puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, okay.
And there's also the fire part of it too, where you can, if you have a torch and you just streak the remote across the fire part, you can flame will follow the streak of the wind, so you can light other torches or burn down
very
gates.
Very Phantom Hourglass-y kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I was just thinking, I'm really glad this is on WiiWare and not DS, because they'd have you blowing into the microphone nonstop.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so there's a one advanced puzzle where I had to plant a seed and then put water on it to make it grow, jump up to the air, find a torch while I'm still in the air, blow the fire from the torch to another torch lower down on the screen, use the fire from that torch to burn down a gate and burn the plant so I could get the seed back, pick up the seed, move it to the next room, plant the seed, use more water to grow the seed, and then launch up to the next area.
Whoa, that's some like Zelda.
Yeah, so it looks really intriguing. I'd like to play a little bit more of it before I have any definitive answer on it. I guess that's what reviews are for. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, and then we have the Telltale game, the episodic WiiWare game.
Strong, bad, cool game for attractive people.
Yeah,
that's an awesome title. Come on, admit it.
Yeah.
Well, personally, I'm not a fan of Strong Bad. Honestly, I could care less for him, but he's part of internet lore, so you kind of have to know about it. And Telltale, they had the Sam Max thing going, and they kind of off the top of my head, I don't remember exactly how the game came about, but Telltale is really good at making episodic games, and Strong Bad is a episodic web series. So the two just kind of went hand in hand perfectly, and so came the Strong Bad video game.
And you did play it, right?
Yeah, it was playable, and it's just like the Sam and Max games. It's point and click. You know, you point here, you click here. Strongbad, who is the main playable character, interacts with the environment either by saying something funny or stupid, which is what he usually does for everything. You can engage in conversations with people. You can play games like Snake Eater 5.
And he's fully voiced?
Yeah. Everybody's voiced. Okay. Everybody's 3D.
I hate to be an asshole about this, but if they can do this, why aren't they doing Sam & Max episodically on WiiWare?
They are.
No, it's a retail game.
Sam
&
Max
it?
That they just announced is the retail package. It's the whole season
it?
On a disc.
Yeah, in one package.
It's the first season on a disc. To be honest, that'll probably be cheaper. Anyway, they're buying them episodically.
You think that buying things at retail is cheaper than digital delivery?
If you're buying all four of them separately.
It's six episodes.
It's six.
It depends how much they want to gouge you for it, really, doesn't it?
Anyway, it just seems like, I don't know, when they announced Sam & Max on the disc, my first thought was, well, it's too bad they're not doing this. Maybe they can do the future seasons episodically.
Yeah, the future seasons, but I think...
Maybe. But my first thought was, well, I guess they couldn't deal with the storage capacity with voices. But if they're doing voices for Strong Bad, then that doesn't make sense anymore. Sort of beside the point, but it just made me think of it.
Or the Strong Bad games could be smaller. Some of those Sam & Max episodic adventures are kind of long. And have a lot of characters and a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how long the first episode of the game's going to be. There was like about 5 or 10 minutes worth of a game they let us play. Even as not a fan, like I'm not a fan of Strong Bad, but it was pretty funny, at least. So if you are a fan of of Strong Bad, this is probably gonna be really cool for you. That's all I got to say about that.
Okay, well, I guess that wraps up the Media Summit thing. We're gonna take one more break and come back with a very quick news thing with a couple of announcements that. That we got out of the summit last week, and then we'll close the show. So, be right back. Okay, we're back for a very quick news segment. We'll start off with VC Mondays. We've got this week, Mega Turrican for the Sega Genesis. Obviously, this is kind of a follow-up, a similar game to Super Turrican, which was on Super Nintendo a few weeks ago. Another Factor 5 2D side-scrolling shooter thing.
Yep, because the VC needed more of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not the same as like a shoot-em-up game, but there are a lot of these kinds of games on virtual console, actually.
There are
Cybernator on Super Nintendo and a lot of stuff like that.
There are a great many VC games that involve you shooting things from a horizontal perspective.
Yeah, but this is different. This is a character running around and shooting things. It's more like Contra. But we also have Contra games on virtual console. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, this was a very popular genre back then.
Yeah, I know.
So there are a lot of games like that. Some of them are really good. This one, can't vouch for. But the other game is Fantasy Zone for Sega Master System. This is our second Master System game. This one's also 500 points, so it looks like they're just kind of going to stick with that price point. But this is a cartoony-style side-scrolling shooter. Yeah, very much like Gradius or R-Type or something like that. But it has this cutesy aesthetic. I guess it's probably closer to the Parodius games from Konami, which have never come to America. Steven, you've probably played Parodius, haven't you?
Parodius?
Parodius?
Never heard of it, actually.
No, it is what it sounds like, a parody of Gradius.
Well,
I'll describe it
for our listeners. Imagine R-Type done with Kirby art assets. That's what
it's kind of. Some of it's kind of. It's very sort of silly, and some of it's slightly saucy. Like I think I saw a version where one of the bosses was like a girl's legs.
You're still talking about Parodius.
Yeah.
Actually, R-Type with Kirby assets was already done in Kirby Superstar on the SNES.
Everything was done in Kirby Superstar. There was so much stuff in
But Fantasy Zone came much earlier than
Fantasy Zone came out 1986.
But yeah, Kirby Superstar game. Is like the best game in the history of video games. I don't care what anybody else says. That's a fact.
Are you,
it's so
you know,
good.
I'd like to.
Time.
I'd like to prove that to myself if Nintendo will ever put it on.
Well, that's the thing because of the remake. The may not
DS
be
DS remakes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, then, if they'll just bring that to America.
Yeah, I don't know why they've been so coy about it. We know about it already.
Because they hate us.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Well, that's Virtual Console this week. I guess Fantasy Zone is considered one of the better Master System games, so if you need more shoot 'em ups and you prefer yours to be 8-bit, then...
And we know you do.
Yeah, for sure. You might want to check that out. I don't know. So anyway, moving on to news, there was one big game announced at the Media Summit. Steven, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, actually, it wasn't announced at the Media Summit. It was actually announced sometime back by Japan. This is just really the first time we've heard about it.
This was the big reveal.
Yeah, this relatively big.
Yeah, well, this kind of, for me, confirms that what Reggie was saying was true. They really aren't going to show us anything much until E3. They are going to drop
It's
going to
be a very boring...
Yes, but anyways, the game in question is Mario Super Sluggers, not Super
Wait,
Mario
isn't it
Sluggers.
Super...
No, no.
Oh, I thought it was Super Mario Sluggers.
Yeah, that would make more sense, but it isn't.
It's Mario Super Sluggers, and every time I was trying to tell somebody about the game or write it down, like in my notes or my preview, I always wanted to put Super Mario Sluggers instead of Mario Super Sluggers, and it pissed the hell out of me.
It's stupid.
It's Super Mario. It's not Mario.
It's Paper Super Mario.
Super Paper Mario. God damn it. Don't confuse me like that. But it's basically... Nintendo said it's basically going to be like a bridge. A bridge game for like from Wii Sports to, you know, another $50 game.
Oh, at first I thought you meant a card game. Bridge.
Mario Super Bridge.
It's a pinochle game. Or cribbage, perhaps.
Sluggers is reference to the physical action that you take when you grasp the Wii remote and punch the old lady next to you for stealing your bid.
No, okay, I just lost my train of thought.
Domestic violence against the elderly. Nintendo World Report.
Yeah, Nintendo's claiming to be one of their bridge teams, but basically it's an extension of baseball and Wii Sports in that you can throw the ball like you're pitching in Wii Sports, and you can hit the ball like you're batting in Wii Sports. But it's expanded in a way to make it more of a game. So they have like when you're pitching and batting, they have these circles around your character that when these circles contract, it's kind of like Oenden where you want to try to pitch right when the circles line up. You want to try to swing when the circles line up. And if you can do that, you'll get like a faster pitch or a better swing like that. And also in the pitching, you can twist the Wii remote when you're doing the throwing motion to get curve on the ball, which you couldn't do in Wii Sports.
Right, you had to do curve through a different way.
Yeah, you had to press buttons.
Buttons.
Yeah, so that's a natural extension of that. The thing I don't like about it, from what I heard, it wasn't playable at the summit. They just had a little presentation of the Japanese version, which is coming out actually in June or July.
It's coming out June 19th.
Thanks. That to field or run on the bases, you have to waggle the Wii remote.
Oh God!
Vigorously.
And it sounds like it's just kind of like a general shake, right? Like
shake
your sword in Zelda. It's not like it matters how you shake it or swing it.
So you know, guys can do it in the way that they know how to do best, and girls can, you know, whatever.
Oh,
it's great!
Oh,
no more
we just
heroes.
Had
to
get
back
the bat
the
joke
podcast.
In there.
Yeah.
So, from what I saw, it wasn't that much. It'll probably just be another Mario Sports title. I don't expect anything.
I mean,
did they mention if the title is online?
I have no idea.
Yeah, do you think it's really sort of based off the bones of the GameCube one, Mario Superstars Baseball or whatever?
It is. Mario Superstars Baseball. It's a sequel,
that poor game.
Basically.
Steven, did they mention whether Namco is developing this as they did for the GameCube game?
They didn't, but honestly, I wouldn't be surprised
I can confirm the developer is Namco Bandai.
Okay, if Namco is making this, as James just confirmed, I'm kind of skeptical of the idea that this is based directly off Wii Sports.
Yeah.
And that it will be as high quality as Wii Sports
it's
baseball.
It's not based off of Wii Sports at all. It's Nintendo said, this is something for if you're familiar with, baseball and Wii Sports, you can come over to this game. Mario Super Sluggers and be, you know, pretty much familiar with what you need to do to play.
I'm cool with that. I like that idea. All I'm saying is the controls have to work at least as well as the ones in Wii Sports.
Yeah,
and I don't have a lot of faith that Namco can do that.
Yeah, that I cannot comment on because it was not playable, so we'll have to wait for a playable version.
No, I really like this idea. I think I've said on the show before that I kind of like the idea of Wii Sports being the introduction to these things or the tech demo, the public tech demo, and other developers or Nintendo themselves taking these ideas and actually making full games out of them. And we haven't really seen much of that. I guess there's a couple bowling games that are shit.
Yeah, well that's the least one to be expanding upon.
Right, yeah, because it's kind of already there. Yeah. Like, there's not a whole lot
to just the option
to
bowl fewer frames. That's about it.
That would be useful. That's for Wii Sports, too. But I kind of think that, you know, I like the baseball and Wii Sports, but the one that is most begging to be A, fixed, and B, expanded is the boxing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in Bully, there's a really, really awesome boxing minigame that works really well, and there's that Hajime no Ippo game in Japan, which is a boxing game.
Oh, I think that's a piece of shit, though. Yeah. What I'm saying is Punch Out. Come on, read between the lines.
Well, I mean, how long
Johnny, Punch Out.
Johnny, you know EA is making Facebicker, that boxing game.
I expect EA to get that right as much as I expect Namco to get the baseball right.
But Punch-Out, Punch-Out, I really don't know why they've neglected that so totally. I mean, the only
you
time
know,
they...
Hey, that might be like an E3 surprise, we don't know yet.
Oh, I'd love it. Punch-Out is the...
A new Punch-Out for Christmas would be kind of a big deal if they did it well.
I think so. I mean, the thing about Punch-Out, it just kind of... I don't know, something tells me it might actually resonate a bit with some of these lapsed gamers that they're picking up with the Wii and stuff.
Oh, dude, it's so nostalgic. Yeah. If you have Punch-Out on your virtual console and you bring over people to play Wii and they see it on there, they will freak out. And this has happened to me like 3 different times.
How long until the swearing starts?
Until the swearing. Matches in.
Yeah.
Although, actually, what I've found, and I've mentioned this before, but like, not only do people remember how to play the game, and they remember all the crazy intricate patterns and the timing and everything, even though they haven't played it in 20 years, they also remember the friggin' password to go straight to the end boss.
That's crazy.
I don't.
It amazes me the way people retain this trivial information.
It's totally
gamers.
Possible.
Like,
I can remember cheat codes for games I don't even like. Let alone the games I do. I mean, it's just sometimes.
I guess
annoying.
So. I that's not information that I keep, that I retain.
You don't wish to retain it, but sometimes you do. It's like,
I know, yeah.
It's like if
it's
you're in an exam and you can't
for
the life you remember
ways.
What you want to remember, but you can remember some ghastly bit of trivia about some movie casting.
I know. Like, I can remember entire map designs out of Star Tropics. Like, I blew through that game just on memory because I knew exactly where everything was.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
Well,
people remember things different ways. But
to get back to baseball, one thing that should really stand out when we're discussing whether or not it's going to be a Wii Fit or anything, and also discussing how horrific the title is, in Japan, the name of the game is Super Mario Stadium Family Baseball.
Yeah, it was Super Mario.
That's Famista. Making it. That's kind of going back to the old Famista brand.
And it was like Stadium
Baseball. Which is
baseball.
Well known. That's very popular in Japan.
And it was Stadium Baseball
branding,
on
actually.
The GameCube as well, so it was kind of more... They're tying it a bit more to the previous game in Japan than they are in America, I guess, because they are keeping the title.
Yeah, there's not much to tie it to in America. I think the GameCube baseball game really was a massive.
It was really late. It was like 2005.
Yeah.
At which point, you know.
Right. Really late, not that good, and didn't sell.
Yeah, there's a lot of subtext in that title, too, though. Family baseball. I mean.
No. Family Stadium, I'm telling you, Family Stadium
is a series unto itself.
A well-known brand of baseball stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why it's called that.
Oh,
and
I see.
It goes back to like Famicom, Family Computer. That's kind of the way they name things in Japan.
So,
Steven, what else did you hear about at the Media Summit news-wise?
For Rock Band, the Wii version was there and playable, and it's, you know, pretty much like the Xbox 360 version, except, you know, it doesn't have a online.
You mean it's pretty much like the PS2 version?
Yeah, that's it. but it's gonna have like 5 bonus songs.
5 whole bonus
which,
songs.
Did you get to see any of those?
No, they didn't really have like a track list. It's the only songs I saw were the ones I've been playing over my 360 for the longest time. So, and to be honest, online's a big deal for us. But if online's really that important to you, you already would have one of the other versions anyway. So let's kind of make that clear.
No, because I don't own the other platforms.
Well, you'll get
and the... online is important to me. And if they're not going to give me online, they should at least take a few bucks off the price instead of charging me even more than the PS2 version.
Mm, that's right. Yeah.
Which this is.
Okay.
It's just, it's bullshit all over, dude. That's what it is. I mean, it's not as bad as what they're charging for it in Europe.
Oh, yeah. That's really big news, isn't it? Like, the gouge. It's something like...
It is 130... They're charging like 260, 270 bucks.
It's something like 130% premium or something. Now, VAT in Britain is 17.5%, so there you go. Blame it.
Yeah.
anyways, that's fair enough. But the thing I was talking to one of the producers of Harmonix who was there demoing the game, and he says, despite the fact that the Weavers is not going to be online, there's still... And I don't know how they're going to do this, but they're still wanting and looking for ways to get DLC on the Wii. So I don't know if they have this functionality hidden or built into the game somewhere that it won't ship with. But, you know, they're saying that they still want to do it despite the fact that it's not going to, you know, ship with it.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is interesting because there was somebody somebody from Harmonix must have been giving interviews promoting the release of it on 360 recently in Europe. Yeah, and the CVG thing, and he was saying basically just blaming Nintendo and the, you know, we need a hard drive. If we don't have a hard drive, we can't do it. Come on, Nintendo, give us a hard drive. Got taken into that special room where people that speak ill of Nintendo,
along with the guy about the two GameCubes.
He got taken.
He was reprogrammed. Exactly. They used little tweezers to hold his eyelids back, and they showed him pictures of Nintendo and kittens.
Yeah, just to pose with Beethoven.
I'm sure they were two different guys, but anyways, they had
But the point was just
the
how
they never heard from again.
They did backpedal on that pretty rapidly, so you know, guess.
You know, and I asked them about that comment. It's like, do you really need a hard drive to DLC? And I was like, no, because I asked them like the rock, like songs on Rock Band, like each song. That's about 20 megs when you consider the music and all the different tracks you have to, like the instruments, like, you know, the vocal notes and the guitar notes and the drum notes and everything. Mm-hmm. So if you're only going to download, say, you know, 3-4 songs, that's manageable within the amount of space, you know, the Wii has. But, you know, we were talking about the fact that, you know, Smash Brothers, you can, you know, save directly to an SD card or load directly off an SD card through the game without having to go through Nintendo's stupid, you know, memory management system.
Drag and drop.
After I learned that, I was kind of thinking, well, it still might be possible to buy downloadable songs for the Wii, not through the Wii, but maybe through like an online EA store, save it to an SD card, and plug the SD card into the Wii console.
Oh God.
Yeah,
No.
But in my, my preview, that's already on the site by now. I said that, well, you know, Harmonix figured out how to integrate the marketplace content, you know, system that normally kind of whooshes out in a Xbox Blade on the 360, but they managed to integrate that into the game. And they're the first you know, developer to actually do that. So I think that if it's going to happen in a more elegant way, Harmonix would probably be one of the first developers, if not the first developer, to figure it out.
If they have the capability to patch the game.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it sounds like from what you're saying that they told you, it sounds like maybe what they're going to try to do is like include the hooks, and if they can figure it out later, they'll just send out a little patch that basically says activate.
Yeah, that's the impression I got.
Now, did you ask them why you can't do online versus play or co-op? Well, really, co-op play is the more important part. Why can't you do that?
I think
we know the Wii can do that.
Yeah, and that's what baffled me about it. And the thing about it is, Harmonix wasn't actually developing the game, or they kind of overseeing it, but they actually just handed it off to. I forget what their name was, but
they just outsourced it to some shit can.
Yeah, they outsourced the thing to the third party. So
yeah.
I guess it was out of their hands.
So they really don't give a f*** about it, is what you're saying.
They care about it. It's just, you know, their efforts, I guess you could say, were concentrating on the 360 version, and then they moved that to the PS3, and then, oh, by the way,
and now they're making Rock Band 2 to screw over everybody who bought the first one.
That's the deal with Rock Band on Wii.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's the end of the show. That's all the news we've got. All I can say in closing is thanks, Wendy, for coming here and telling us all about this stuff. That was really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's been a while since we did listener mail, and we do have some really good stuff piling up. We're going to do that next week unless anything crazy happens. So you've got a few more days here by the time you hear this to get your letters in for next week's show. So make them good and send those to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. And if you sent a really good letter like 2 weeks ago, don't worry. We haven't thrown it away. We'll definitely consider that when we choose the ones we look at. So with that, I'm going to thank James and Greg again. And we hope John will be back soon. And yeah, we do. And you, the listener, for listening.
Thank you.
So thanks. And bye. Bye-bye.
We go through that entire segment without mentioning Lords of Thunder. That should at least be some sort of 30 points.
I've actually got a new entry for the folder now. The Lords of Thunder folder. Yeah.
He's collecting.
I'm collecting.
He's making a giant tinfoil ball.
Of people saying Lords like of Pee-wee. Thunder.
He's making a Pee-wee Herman ball of Lords of Thunder.
Lords of Thunder!
That might be my favorite one yet. Nice.
I've got two now.
Maybe I can do my Elmo voice.
Oh my god.
Lords of Thunder!
Whoa, it's not pretty good.
Lords of Thunder!
No.
Oh my
god.
Okay.
Lords of Thunder!
Oh, that's,
yeah, that's
it. Chilling.
Lords of Thunder!
Oh dear.
Yeah, my I can't do that in front of my girlfriend. She gets creeped out. She hates it. Actually, that's why I do it. She hates it. But it just coils away.
Don't tempt me, man. I still don't have a stinger for this episode yet.
Lords of Thunder.